and move in a mighty way and speak. We got to acknowledge him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, let's lift our hands and acknowledge him for a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless you right now. We welcome you in this place. We acknowledge who you are. We know you're in this building. We know that we can receive nothing from God except you give it to us. You are the only one that can enter into our hearts and stamp the word on our hearts and stamp the word on our minds and give it staying power in our lives. We acknowledge your presence in this place. We acknowledge your presence in this place. We acknowledge your presence in this place. We won't take another step until we acknowledge that you are the leader. Now, Holy Spirit, I ain't nothing without you. I ain't got no cute words. I ain't got no anointing unless you anoint me. And so I totally rely on you this morning. Say the words that you want to say. Give the things that you want to give. It's not about me. It's all about you. You know it all. And so we yield. Bless your people this morning, God. These are your people, God. Bless your people this morning, God. And give them something to rely on. Give them something to lean on. Give them something to stand on this morning, God. I thank you so much, Holy Spirit. You have free course. Do what you want to do. Move up and down these aisles. Say what you want to say. This is your service. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We have to do, and I love it. It's kind of leading off to what we're going to deal with this morning. You have to always and completely and totally acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you something about the Holy Spirit. If you don't acknowledge him, he won't say a thing to you. If you don't give him place or give him space, he won't move. I was talking, for some reason, it seems that I get my best messages when apostle preaching. When I'm sitting there listening to him preach, I seem to get my best messages, right? Yeah, you know what that means. That means I'm kind of piggybacking. I was sitting in church the other day, and apostle was preaching on a Sunday. And if you ever experienced one of our Sunday services, the anointing is just, the best way I can say it is just driving. It's constant. It's like a constant push. And I'm sitting there, and I see all this power in the room, and I look around the room, and I say, God, well, and I talk to the Holy Ghost like this, and I say, well, Holy Spirit, why is it that all this power can be present in the house of God, and all this power can be coming from the man of God, but some people still leave with the same problems they came with? How is it that I read your scripture and it says how powerful you are and how anointed you are and how much clarity you bring, but yet people are still dealing with so much stuff? I say, how does this happen? How is it that the anointing of God is present in the room, but people still leave with the same addictions that they had when they came? And the Holy Spirit told me something. And he told me, I preached this other night with our youth, but then he gave me another level of it. He said, the only way that the power can work in full force is when somebody fully admits that they need me. You know, truth is, if I can be truthful, and if you be truthful with me and not lying to me in the house of the Lord, right? If you're not lying to me in the house of the Lord, right? If you don't lie to me, all of us got issues. You, Reverend, everybody else, we got stuff we got to deal with. Ain't none of us reached that flawless point. We ain't going to get there till we go to heaven. So we got things that we do not know, and we got issues that we need to be dealt with. And it's stuff that we can't handle that needs to be done. But the first thing, I got it in my notes, the first thing is admission. You know, he took me back to the scripture. The way I got born again, the first thing I said in my sinner's prayer was, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yeah. It's the first thing you got to say. You acknowledge that you ain't got it together. Yeah. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. That's your first prayer. That started your walk with Christ. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I ain't no good on my own, but I ask you to come into my heart and make me a better person, amen? Ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. So admission. So this morning before we're done, you're going to have to admit that you don't know it all. Or better yet, you really have to admit that you don't know nothing. Now that's hard to do. That's hard to do. We're going to do the little guy called Eagle. It's hard to do. That's hard to do when you've been in church for a little while. You got some scriptures under your belt, and so you know, you're spiritual and you're deep, and you've experienced the presence of God before. So, you know, sometimes it's very hard to be in that presence, but then be humble when it's time to be humble. See, that's a switch. One thing I admire about Apostle, and I know this to be true, is that he always talks about insufficiency. And always talking about not being good enough. You ever hear him say, he said, I can't even speak the English language that good. You ever heard him say that before? But the insufficiency gives room for the Holy Spirit to be your sufficiency. Truth is, and I'm saying this for a reason, I'm going to keep saying it till I get it in your head. Truth is, you are not sufficient on your own. Lord Jesus, if it was just about what we know and what we do, we would be as one with no hope. Give it up. Give it up. All that stuff that you think you know, give it up. Look at your neighbor and say, give it up. All that stuff that you think that you got under your belt, that you think you got work and you got going on, no, give it up. Give that up and let it go. I was trying to, you know, Apostle came in this morning and, you know, you think about, what I'm going to name this message. I don't know what I'm going to name it. And the first thing he came in the room, he said, look, I'm just going to tell you. And so simple. He put his hand on his head, I'm just going to tell you. You know, all you got to do is just trust in the Lord. I say, well, there it is. Thank you, Lord. I almost give me a praise shout. Thank you, Lord. Trust in the 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 Lord. Now, we know these scriptures. I don't have to go to Proverbs 3:5. You know the scripture, don't it? Let's go anyway. Come on. I want you to look at it. Look at that scripture that you know. Proverbs chapter 3:5. Some of y'all say, well, I ain't got to turn there. I'm going to quote it. You better turn over there. Proverbs chapter 3:5. I ain't waiting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So read it. How much of it? How much of your heart? No. It say 50%. No, the part that you want God to touch. Oh, no, just part about your family. Or just the part about your money. No, it says trust in the Lord with. Now, most of us think we be trusting the Lord, but you really be trying him. I'm going to, let me sow this seed. I'm going to see if it work. But if it don't work, I'm going back to my job. Let me sow this seed, but if it don't work this time, I'm going to try to start this business. Trust and try are two different words. Two totally different words, two totally different meanings. Trust in the Lord. For trust, I got a definition of trust. I ain't trying to read it all. When you trust something, you lean on it. We used to do these trust exercises. We used to do this in team building. And some of y'all know where I'm going. In team building, where you stand there. Somebody stand behind you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And somebody stand behind you. Some of y'all be like that in them laying hand lines. When the usher behind you. You got to stand there. I don't know. I want the spirit, but I don't believe in him behind me. but they got these trust exercises where you got to stand there. Now think about this. Woo. I get nervous thinking about it right now. You got to stand there and somebody that's on your team is standing behind you. And so what you have to do, you have to lean back and give it all up and trust that they're going to catch you. Now mind you, you can't see them. You ain't got time to be. You ain't really trusting if you're doing like this. And what most people do, and you'll find out how much, what most people do is they get the leaning back and they get almost dead and their foot come back. Right. Because somewhere deep in your mind, you don't trust. Now, I've seen some people, and a lot of times it's younger people, it's a lot of younger kids, they'll just fall out because they just trust. You say you're going to catch me, then I'm falling. That's why the Bible says, except you be as little children. But it's not the easy. I've had to do it before, and I'm not a little guy. So, you know, when I'm leaning back, I got to make sure I love my head. I don't want to fall on my back. All right now. I don't like hurting, do you?
I don't like hurting.
So you need to catch me. Right. I need, you know, and we, you know, we're dealing with people, so when we do these trust exercises, y'all say, hey, I want him to do mine. Because I need somebody that I know going to trust me. They're not mad at me right now. I need somebody behind me that I can trust. I need somebody behind me to lean on that's going to catch me that I can trust. Now, who can we trust more than the Holy Ghost? Because the Bible starts talking about the Holy Ghost, and he said, he'll guide you in all truth and teach you things that you do not know, and be your comforter and be your helper. He's there for you. He searches the deep things. That's trust. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
Come on, say it again. Say trust.
Trust.
But it says trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not half, not just a little bit. And then the next part it says, and lean not to your own understanding. Now listen, I had one of my friends come pick me up this morning. The apostle happened to be on CD and tape. He said, your intellect can either be an asset or a bastard to you. Your mindset, the way that you think about things, the way that you figured it out, the way that you done calculated it all out from the top to the bottom can be an asset or a bastard to you. Which one do you want? And the only way that your intellect can be an asset is when the Holy Spirit has full control over it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. With all thine heart. With all thine heart. I'm going to say it again. With all thine heart. With everything that you got. Scripture says, he said you had to admit. I won't get ahead of myself. He said you had to admit it. You had to admit that you got issues. You had to admit, because whatever problem that you got, you got it. Oh, you put yourself there. Oh, yeah. Personal responsibility. You put yourself there. Whatever issues you got going on that it can't be fixed right now, you did that. Listen to the song. He said, Lord, you are good. And then the end part, he said, I love it. You are good all the time. That means he always good, right? So them bad spots that show up that ain't that good, that ain't him because he good all the time. Now, I pounded, I'm just trying to get it through your head and get it through your mind and get it through your understanding that you don't really know that much. It's a humble moment. Lay down. Bow before the throne of God. Humble thyself in the presence of the Lord and realize that you don't know it. The only one that knows everything and where you need to be and how you need to do it is the Holy Ghost, and we've got to lean on him. Scripture says, with what measure ye meet, what? With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. So watch this. I want the power of God. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in my life. Well, how much are you willing to give up? What is it that you hold on to that the Holy Spirit can't touch? See, we got different things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can't touch my wife, or can't touch my husband. I can't touch my children. I let him work everywhere else, but don't. I can't cut. No, he wants you to cut everything. He wants you to start cutting so that he can enter in and be who he is. How much are you willing to give up? Admit that you don't know. It's not the easiest thing to do, I understand. Because you might know a lot. You might have went to college, might have got a degree, might have been in this place, might have went to ministry school, might have been preaching for 30-something years. I understand. And I'm not saying by any means stop learning, but yield your learning to the Holy Ghost. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. That's simple. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. That's simple. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. So with what measure you're willing to give up the rest of yourself, that's when the Holy Spirit can enter in and do what he wants to do. The reason that you only have a little power working in your life and you seem to get spurts of the anointing is because you're only giving up a little bit of yourself. You're only when this happens, and it's all of us, when this happens, when I've seen the Holy Spirit move in a mighty way in services and in people's lives. And most of the time, and all the time when he did it, the people just got out the way, gave up the worship, wasn't thinking about nothing else, and the Holy Spirit was able to come in and do what he had to do. But see, when we still holding on to the wheel, he can't drive. I was sitting there at a table and I was listening to Bishop Robinson and Dad talking. He was talking about different things, and Dad said something. He said, you know, I ain't got no schedules or nothing. He said, I just kind of throw the ball. He said, just like this. He said, I throw the ball in the bushes and I'm gonna see how it come back out. He said, I'm just putting it out there, relying on the Holy Ghost. Putting it out there, relying on the Holy Ghost. And I sat there and I started thinking. I said, well, and I don't know, it's open vision. I ain't trying to be deep or nothing. Just I saw somebody riding in the car. And there's somebody driving and they was in the passenger seat and half of them was in the car and half was out. And so this outside half was just going in the wind and the other half was trying to be stable. Is that true? I ain't never seen nobody riding in a car like that. It's amazing how we do things in the physical, but we can't understand. Everything in the physical realm came from something spiritual. So when you get in that car and you put your seatbelt on, you are confident, pop, that you're going to be all right, huh? I've never seen somebody get in the car halfway. I don't know if I want to go all the way there and leave the other half out and tell them drive. You ever got in the car? You ever got in the car before and you didn't close the door, like you wasn't all the way in, somebody took off driving already? Like they were so quick, they were trying to get there so fast, they took off driving. You wasn't even, hold on. Let me get in the car. Are you in? Settle down in the car with your seatbelt on. Are you buckled in with the Holy Ghost? Because you can't ride the other way. The police gonna stop you. The progress gonna stop. The car can't move as fast. Somebody gonna get their head bust. Every head busting, everything that comes up, everything that comes up is not favorable. It's because you're not all the way in the car. If you're all the way in the car with the Holy Spirit driving, there will be no problems. Get in the car. Get in the car. You told somebody, they out there messing around, you ready to go. You say it through your teeth. Get in the car. I swear you will get in the car. You ever seen them people want to whoop their kids? I swear, you say one more thing, I swear. Get in the car. Get all the way in. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell them, get in the car. Sit down. You know, because what we do is, thank God, what we do, what measure you me, what you give up, what you willing to give up, how you willing to submit yourself. What submission says is this, and I'm clear about this. What submission really is submission, the Bible says, the less is blessed or the better. And what submission really is when you put yourself under. See, the anointing doesn't flow sideways. You can't pour in a cup right by each other. Pour it in, something gonna waste. So in order for this cup to be filled, and this cup got the goods, it gotta get under and be poured down. Come on, reverends. Come on, submission. We gotta get under. So when dealing with the Holy Ghost, you can't be sitting up there thinking you and the Holy Ghost smart like each other. He know and I know too. Don't be giving the scriptures what he know I know. No. He know it all. He just letting you use his thoughts. He said it earlier. I am only, apostles was praying just now. I am only a vessel. You know, a vessel seems like a very insignificant thing. And I think that's sometimes where our problem comes in, because we don't want to feel insignificant. And them little insecurity issues and little self-conscious, because you don't want to feel like you are nobody. But truth is, we are. Or quiet in the house, hush. Truth is, you ain't nobody without the Holy Ghost. But once I can get that through your head, don't call me a nobody. Look, I'm just telling you the truth. Once I can get that through your head, and I can get that through your mind, then we can start making progress. You say, well, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Yes, you are, with the Holy Ghost. Okay. You might not believe me. Who made you royal? The audacity of us to think that we good without the Holy Ghost. Some people really, some people live in life and they think they deserve it. They feel entitled. Somebody, ain't nobody supposed to give you nothing. You supposed to lean and receive. We're afraid to be called insignificant. Are we afraid to acknowledge that we really ain't nothing? It's quiet. But it's a true statement. And when we can get that through our heads, it'll get us to a point. See the people that know they ain't nothing already. You just know you ain't nothing. Look, I wasn't born nothing. I ain't never been nothing. I ain't got nothing. People like that, they'll just jump off the cliff. Won't you say it, Jesus? All right, I'm gone. Because they ain't got nothing to lose. Whoa. What is it that you're afraid of losing? What you compromise to keep, you'll lose it already. That man that had talents, had them talents. They gave the 1-1, the 1-2, the 1-5, right? Now all of them go do their work except the one with the one. The one with the least. Seems like the one that hold on the most. They be talking about having being rich, but rich is liberality. You're willing to give. You got that way because you're willing to give. But that one that hold on, the one hold on to that one. And got taken out of his stewardship. Got taken out of his stewardship. That what he had, taken away. I want you to think about it for a minute. I want you to write it down on there. Just think about it for a minute. What is it that you won't give up? That you're afraid to lose? That you think that you watch this. And you're holding on to it so tight that you're choking the life out of it. Selah. I know it might be Selah. I'm in the country right now. Selah. Think about that for a moment. Being able to give up all of you. What measure you meet is your measure. I want the Spirit to work in full measure. Well, give up the full yourself. Then he took me to a scripture. He said, you got to admit. That you ain't nobody. He said, they got to admit. See, some of these people that got these addictions, I got these habits, I got these things that they can't break. They come to church and they don't like the effects of it, but they don't hate it yet. It's not to the point to where whatever that addiction is or whatever that problem is or whatever that vice is, it's not to the point to where they hate it and they don't want nothing to do with it. Somewhere deep down in their mind, they still like it. And all it takes is a little bit of that to hold on to it. In order to overcome it, in order for the power of God to work in full admission, you got to fully give up. I don't want this no more. God is not a man that he should lie. He said it, he'll make it good. I know by the power of God that there is no way, if the power of God fully entered into your situation, that nothing could stay there. There is no way that you could really be in the presence of God and leave with a problem. So if you left with a problem, you left with a problem. You picked that problem up and took it with you.
Come on.
You better preach.
Come on.
That's good, my
friend. Give it up. Come on. Give it up. Come on, come on, come on. Give it up. Give up yourself. Give up yourself. Give up yourself. Don't worry about it. Give yourself up. You know, they say that in the life that I now live in the flesh, talking about crucifying yourself, and I ain't got time to go over and read it. But they say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. He gave himself. I want to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Jesus gave himself up. Don't make me get into it. Jesus, he was supernatural. Look, Jesus was a man. And you remember that verse that says, Lord, if you can, let this cup pass. Y'all remember that scripture? What Jesus was saying, Lord, if you can do this another way, do it that way. I don't want to die. I'm walking right here. I just got the power going. My ministry only started 4 years ago. I'm just getting into the groove. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. Not my will, but thine will. When we get to the part where it's not my will, but it's thine will, then we'll see what happens when the Holy Ghost is in charge. See, is the Holy Ghost in charge, or is he, you know, you're trying to keep him as an advisor? I got another one. I wrote it down. Paul said the other day, he said, my words and the Holy Spirit, my words are not advices, they're devices. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about deep vice. You know what a vice is? Anybody know what a vice grip is? It's something that just holds you, it's just a vice. Sometimes they got a vice, it just holds you. It's a deep vice. It means it unvices it. I don't even know if it's a word. Unvice. Break the vice. Y'all know this on Break Every Chain. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit words are not advice, not giving you, hey, you know you might want to do. No. Holy Spirit don't talk like that. You might. No, he don't say you might want to do it. Holy Spirit is saying, do this. Stop. Don't go no further. Give this. He don't say, hey, you might want to do this. No, the Holy Spirit don't talk like that. Might and if and all that. He don't even know those words. That's you. That's you with all them mites and ifs and maybes and hows and buts and wheres and all that. That's you. He don't be saying all that. Holy Spirit gives a direct. I was reading that one of them apostolic strategy book and he said, the Holy Spirit don't give you no choice. He say what need to be done. And if there's a choice, you took that choice upon yourself. Sit down, come on, sit down. The audacity to a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and everything. Now, the most double-minded thing I've ever seen was that somebody said, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to do everything inside of me. I want to be all that you want me to be, but don't want to give up everything. He said it one time. He said, everybody want a 100-fold return. Mark 10:29. I'm sowing Jesus. I'm sowing, Lord, I want 100-fold return. I got this $1,000, Jesus. And I want 100-fold return. I want to give me 100-fold, Jesus. Give me 100-fold. Watch this. Mark 10 and verse 30. And this is exactly what we do. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. We are biblically selective. So we go to the one. We search the word in our phone Bible app. We find the word that we want. We want that 100-fold, right? We find that word that we want. We search it. And we go to that scripture and we jump to verse 30 and say, hallelujah, but he shall receive 100-fold. When now in this time, right? And say, oh, Jesus, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands. With persecution, we ain't worried about that because we got all the other stuff in the world come eternal life. Then we get 31. The first shall be last. I've always been last all my life. So the first shall be last and the last. Hallelujah. Get in the spirit on your biblically selective scripture. But we always skip over verse 29. I'm going to let you read it so it hit home. Verse 29, ready? Read. Boy, he said more stuff than in verse 30. There's no man that left house and brothers and sisters and father and mother and wife and children and lands for my sake and the gospel's. I want 100. Will you give 100? I want 100% Holy Spirit. Can I give up 100% of myself? Can I crucify myself? Can I kill self? Or do I punch self in the mouth just to make it lay down for a little while? So you gotta choke him out. Self got to die. Self will neutralize the Holy Spirit in your life. Now the Holy Spirit is too powerful for self to neutralize. So what happens is the Holy Spirit is all powerful. He's gonna do what he wanna do. He's gonna get it done with or without you. So when I say self is neutralizing the Holy Spirit, that's just in your life. The Holy Spirit going to get done what he need to get done, and he's going to keep moving. But are you going to be in the plan or not? Will you involve yourself? In order to involve and be involved in the plan of the Holy Spirit, self will, what you think, how you feel, what you think it's supposed to do, how you think it's supposed to go, got to die. No, not lay down. It got to die. All the air has got to be choked out of it. It's got to die. So I want the measure of the Holy Spirit. We look at apostle and say, how much of strong measure in the Holy Spirit he walking? You know it. Come on. You know it. You know, as soon as he hit that stage, that power starts. And the Holy Spirit starts spinning in his room. Up. My man of God up there. Now I'm ready to go. Because he's just out there. It ain't about him. He ain't thinking about nothing else but the Holy Spirit moving. And he'll say it over and over again. And I say it when I preach because I want to be sure that I'm in the right place. Listen, Holy Spirit, I ain't nothing without you. Please help me from falling on my face. I know every time you sing, I'll be out there singing and we worshiping and everything. Listen, every time I'm in the corner, I'm nervous every time. You know who nervous? That's me. I'm nervous because I know I can't do it on my own. And I sit there in the back and I say, Holy Spirit, listen. I talk to him just like that. Y'all talk to him how you want with your 1,000 daughters and all that. Besides all that. I say, Holy Spirit, listen. I say, I'm going to be clear with you. I said, if you don't go, tell me now if you're not going on that stage. No, I'm serious. There's no games. Listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. I can feel the Holy Spirit right now. Listen, I say, listen, I'm gonna say it again. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all let me have my conversation. I say, Holy Spirit, listen. If you're not gonna go on that stage, don't send me out there by myself. And I start telling him, I say, these your people, not mine.
Right.
You're supposed to bless these people in this worship, not me. So if you're not going, tell me now so I can hand the mic over.
Yeah.
If it's not my moment, listen. I'm not. People say what they want. I'm not stage hungry. I'm not stage hungry. I'm not mic hungry. You guys are, listen, if it ain't my time, I ain't trying to go. I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody. I just want yield. So I told the Holy Ghost, if you're not going to go out there, I remember he said in the Exodus, he said, Lord, if you're not going up there with us, or is your presence going to be with us? Because if you're not going, I don't want to go. Because I know without you, I have nothing. Without you, there will not be a lick of anointing on the stage. It'll be all performance and acting and me struggling in my flesh. Come on, sit down. We're going to keep talking. Sit down. You ever had a minister before? You ever had a minister before? You ever had to get up and talk for somebody or a minister or some people are psalmists in here saying, if you ever had to do that, you ever done it in the flesh before? I have. See, a lot of them own up to, no, I'm never in the flesh. No. Yeah, come on. Sometimes I got out there and I was out there. Yeah. And you just, Lord, and you're trying to do it. Lord, we worship you. And Holy Spirit say, I don't even know who you are. You didn't even ask me. I receive it.
Yes, sir.
You up there sweating, you know, you're up there sweating, working hard. Then you try to hit it hard. Come on, Jesus. I promise you, I've had those moments when I've had the right kind of moments where I got out there. I said, Lord, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got a thing. I've been out in situations. I remember I used to sing a lot on Sundays, and they used to have me sing. You know, I have a deeper voice. They used to have me singing these old high, these John P. Key, you know, all these, yeah. I had to sing and all that in church. I learned better after a while. But I would sing on a Sunday, and I sing 3-4 songs and it'd be done. I couldn't talk for about 2-3 days.
Right.
So in a meeting like this, brother be in trouble with me. Yeah. singing all this, the voice would be in trouble. And I remember a situation where I say, look, Holy Spirit, look, I ain't got no voice.
Come on.
I ain't trying to be deep, y'all. I'm not trying to be deep. I ain't trying to pay my, this is all the Holy Ghost. I say, Holy Ghost, listen. And you get on stage and you say, well, you got to do your job. Right. It's your time allotted to go. Your name is on the list right now. You're supposed to go. Holy Spirit, I ain't got nothing. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
How you gonna put me out there in front of these people like that? And I'll see the Holy Spirit, and it'll the anointing will snap. As soon as this is how he do it. He waits till the very last minute. He got a sense of humor. He waits till the very last minute. You both start singing at 10:30, and it's 10:29 and 45 seconds. And you still talking, you like, oh Jesus, I just got nothing. So what happens? When you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. You run out there. I tell people when it's time to go preach, you're nervous. I don't know what to do, and I just sit there and I just walk out there. I gotta go out there. I ain't got nothing to lose. So Holy Spirit, I'm jumping. You better catch me. And every time. Every time. You are good all the time, all the time you are good. You are good all the time, all the time you are good. You are good all the time, and all the time you are good. Every time I jump, he catch me. So that's why I sit down. Come on, y'all, sit down. This is why, you know, you can't be walking around talking about, you know, brother, you did a good job. Yeah, I know it. For sure, I got you. Yeah, well, you know, I've been working out a little bit, and I've been doing voice exercises, and you know, we just been, you know, doing what we gotta do. I can't, that stinks. I can't stand people like that. The apostle said tonight, the performers gotta die. All these superstars got to die. You ain't nothing. So humility is not be quiet, because I know some of the most arrogant quiet people. They call it is that false humility. Well, you know, I don't really want nothing, but then behind the door you're talking crazy. Oh yeah, they do it up here on the pulpit. They do it. Some of the preachers do it on the pulpit. They get up there. Well, you know, the Lord is everything, but then you get behind the closed door, they talking stupid. That false humility. No, humility, true humility, being humble, truly being humble, that means that I totally depend on God. You want to be humble? Lean. I'm totally dependent on him. That's what humility is. So now they give up houses and lands and sit down, houses and lands and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, mothers, your mama. You want to fight now, huh? I'll be talking about your mama. There was one word that trumped everything in school. They talk about your shoes, your t-shirt, and all that. I remember they went off on me one time, and it was so wrong. I was young. This and that, yeah, that. And they would get me angry, like everybody laughing. And it's one phrase, two words that will win the battle, but you got to fight after. But it's two words. You know what? Your mama. Ooh, it touched some of y'all, didn't it? That friend, who? My mama, what? It touched you, like, oh. Who, mama? Mama. And then it get real good if you say all that stuff you said, that's your mama. Me too. I'm about ready to slap somebody. Cause I know my, you don't know my mama. Your mama. Brothers and sisters, and houses and lands, and your money and your car, and your best friends and your cousins, all that fall on the brothers, your cousins and your nan-nans and all them, your hairdresser and all them ones, all the different ones. You good friends, the ones you be talking, you bumping your gums with all the time? Can we give it up? Houses and lands. See, some reason some of y'all ain't got no breakthrough, because God know that you'll hold on to that more than you'll hold on to him if you got it. So I'll just keep you here, because that's the measure that you're meeting. This is the measure that you're meeting. So that's the measure. See, because what God wants you to do is stay close to him. God wants you to stay close to him. He wants you to always be leaning on him. So he gonna, I want you to lean. So if this is going to keep you from leaning, you ain't ready. You can scream, shout, come and sow all day long. If you don't learn how to give up yourself and lean, God can't take you nowhere else. Give it up. Houses and lands and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children. For righteousness, for the gospel's sake. For the Holy Spirit to move. Don't be double-minded. Talking about you want it all, but you don't want to give it all. Give it up. I got scripture. Don't be talking about it. I got scripture. I got a place to go. But listen, I'm right here. Give it out. Give all that thought, all that thinking you be doing. All that figuring out. The Holy Spirit works. It talk about flowing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit works by a flow, not by a force. Holy Spirit works by a flow, not by your flesh. The Holy Spirit works by a flow, not by your figuring it out. In your ministries, in your lives, in your families, in your bodies, when things are different, if you would lean more, he would be stronger in your life. If you would lean more, he could do more for you. The more you, see when you, it's almost like you leaning out the way so he can stand up in your position. Get the visual, come on, get the visual. Get the visual. You leaning out the way, the camera is on you. The camera on you. My situation don't need to be looking at me because I ain't got nothing for it. I can't do nothing to change it. I ain't no good. The situation's going to beat me. So it don't need to see me. And just stay right there, camera. Don't move. I know you like to move. Keep up with me. But what I need to do is I need to lean out the way so that he can stand up. Holy Spirit, jump in, stand up and say, who you looking at now? Oh! See, that's what happens. You thought you was coming fight Montreal. It's almost like your big brother show up. I'm going to get my brother. Oh, you talking that noise? Watch, I'm going to get my boys. And you thought you was looking. That situation come up and that problem come up and that issue come up and it thought it was going to see you, but it didn't know who. So, woo, you ready? It's almost like boxing when they say you bob and weave. They didn't, that situation didn't know that you could lean like that. Everybody lean for a second. Come on, lean, come on, lean. Come on, come on, lean another way. Come on, lean. The Holy Spirit didn't know that you could lean like that. And when you lean, when you lean and get out the way, the Holy Spirit stands up. It's like, what's happening? He ain't got a duck. He ain't got a bob and weave. He take that, oh, that's what you want to do? This really the fight that you want? And he just start whooping everybody. Come on, let's, come on, come on, come on, come on, lean, come on. Come on, we lean. Not to your own understanding of it, no, lean. Trust in him with all your heart, with all your ways. What'll happen in your life? Think about it for a second. I know the theme is what happens when the Holy Spirit is in charge. I put a question mark behind the other night because I really want to know what happens when the Holy Spirit is in charge. What would happen? Come on, think about it in your life. If he was in charge, not an advisor, not as a, you know, I'm a friend of God and a friend. No, not as your friend. Because your friends, you can tell your friends, shut up. I know you like the song. I like it too. Don't get your feelings hurt. But you can tell your friends, be quiet. You can tell your friends, you don't know what you're talking about. All y'all, how many of y'all got friends, right? Yeah. Right? Your friends don't know everything, do they? No. They cool, but they don't know everything. They cool, but when that problem come up, I'm not praying in my friends. Right. Who you praying? The Spirit. So, my Holy Spirit, no. He'll be friendly to you. No. He has direct direction for you. And you have got to lean. You know, grace helps us because, see, the Holy Spirit really is made to function when you're out the way. He really is in his best, at his best, at his full flow in your life when you move out the way. You say, well, you know, I'm still holding on to some things in the Holy Spirit because I know you're holding on to stuff. And the Holy Spirit's still on me. Well, yeah, that's grace. It come in and he help you out when you can't help yourself. It come in and make you better than you are by yourself. But what grace is really supposed to do is extend you further than you are by yourself. Grace is supposed to, look, I was talking the other night, and y'all seen that guy a couple weeks ago that walked across the Grand Canyon on the thing, right? You know, he's walking across there, and he braver than me. He walking across, and it's a narrow path. It's not the wide one, it's a narrow path. And he walking across, and when he's walking across, he's not just doing like this with his hands. He's holding on to something. Yeah. He's holding on to something because it's helping him stay balanced. And we can just walk out here on the broad floor, just be reckless and no. But when I got to walk that narrow, and see on that, I give up houses and lands and brothers and sisters, and I'm willing to give it up. That's a narrow path. Everybody ain't doing that. So that's a narrow path. So now, and on that narrow path, that's that same path that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness, and all these, everything that's be added is on that path right there. That's that path. That's that one that he say, he'll guide you. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's that path. And it's kind of narrow, I ain't gonna lie. Because everybody ain't doing it. Come on, everybody. Apostle is walking on the narrow path. That's why his anointing is rare as it is. Because he's on that path. But watch this. Not only is he on that path, Holy Spirit showed me something like he said, but I get a little bit of balance with my arms. I get a little bit, but it's not enough to save me from falling in the Grand Canyon. So I need to hold on to something that goes longer than I can reach. Sounds like the Holy Ghost to me. I need to hold on to something that goes longer than I can reach. And when I hold on to it, no, you can't be holding on with one hand. And a hand in your pocket. Or you hold on to it with this hand, then you got your other arm out. Now you got to grab hold with both hands. And then you got to walk, you got to hold tight. And you got to walk, and that thing keeps you balanced. And it keeps you, it keeps me from falling over. And it keeps me from dying. And it keeps me from falling to my death because it's extended longer than I am by myself. Yeah. This is what grace does. Grace is an extension of my hands. Where I can't reach, I see what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will tell you to reach for something that you can't get. The Holy Spirit will tell you the cliff right there, it's 1,000 feet on the other side. And the Holy Spirit, it's just like him to tell you to jump. You go take your running start. He said, go back up a little bit, then go jump. It's just like him to tell you to jump further than you can jump on your own. Because he knows that he's the helper. And if you rely on him as the helper, he'll help you get all the way to the other side. And then who gets the glory? It's all about the glory of God. It's not about you. It's not about your glory. I heard a song say, all the glory belongs to you. All the glory don't belong to you. No glory. I don't walk in no glory. Paul said, I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I proclaim to know nothing. And anything that I do know, I count it as dung. You know what dung is, right? Nothing. I ain't nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. Say it out your mouth. No, don't say it to me. Talk to the Holy Ghost right quick. And tell him I'm nothing without you. Did everybody say it? Come on, I'm going to look at your mouth. Say it. Stand up. Stand up and say it. Stand up. Stand up where you at. Stand up. What you sitting down for? Stand up. Say it out your mouth. Say I'm nothing without the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. Holy Ghost. Hey, hold on. I want you to say it just like me. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I ain't.
I'm
gonna say it again.
I ain't.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Stop and think about that for a moment. Come on, I'm thinking with y'all. Come on. Holy Ghost. I ain't nothing. And I ain't even get to the part without you yet, because that make you feel better. No, I want you to feel it a little bit. Holy Ghost, I ain't nothing. Admit it. Come on, drop all your titles and all this stuff and how you feel about all this stuff and what you think that got you the way you got to. Ain't none of that you done. Ain't nothing but grace got you. You thought it was you, but that grace covered you up in that foolishness that you was in just to bring you there. You ain't got here by yourself. Your life has not been spared because you drive that good. It ain't nothing but the grace of God. Holy Ghost, I ain't nothing without you. I see when the Holy Ghost hears that. I don't know if you're playing with me this morning or whatever. I believe God that you're not. I don't know. It's a real reverent moment. It's a very reverent moment. I stick with me. It's a very reverent moment. Because see, when the Holy Ghost, when you talk to him and you talk to him in a reverent moment, you really mean what you're saying from your heart and you really say it like you believe it and you really say, listen, Holy Ghost, listen, truth is, I ain't nothing. I ain't got nothing. If you don't show up, I can't do nothing. I can't move nothing. When I walk out the door, the next step I'm taking is relying on you. When I get to the point where the Holy Spirit, listen, I understand. I'm clear about it. I understand. There was no doubt about it in my mind. There was nothing in my head that I could hold. See, hold on. That's harder to do. You wonder why people get some accomplishments and then they seem not to keep going up. I look at an apostle and sometimes it's like, can he go any higher? And then next Sunday, it'd be up there. And then the next Sunday, I'm like, I go everywhere with him. So I hear all the messages. They are all different. They all got more revelation. He always saying something I ain't never. Last week he said something about being slippery with blood. You ain't never heard nobody say that to you in your life. And it just keep going up. But the only reason people can keep going up, even though it seems that you got everything, is because you got everything because you was relying on the Holy Ghost already. And you know that you didn't do it. You didn't bring it in. Ain't nothing that you did. Ain't no place that you went got you that. And so now I just got to keep leaning. Because I know I was leaning before the stuff got here. And I'm going to be leaning after it come. And then more come, I'm still going to be leaning. Holy Spirit, I ain't nothing without you. Get it through your head. Now some of y'all ain't got it yet. Some of y'all ain't got it yet. Some of y'all ain't got it yet. And you're saying it right now because we in church is how we do it. Everybody saying it, so I'm going to say it. I don't want to look like I'm sticking out. Some of y'all ain't got it yet, but you need to get it through your head. Meditate on that statement. No, look at all your scriptures that you want in you. No, meditate on that statement right there. Go sit there and ponder for a moment on that. In your meditation time in the morning before you start talking about all the stuff that you want, ponder on that and say, Holy Spirit, I ain't nothing now. Let me warn you before I start walking today, I ain't nothing. Now, if you don't meet me at that door, I ain't nothing going to pop off today. Holy Spirit, I ain't without you. I'm done.
I want to name that tape. Seriously. Sons who are around me, I heard a powerful thing there, and it'll call a question. Are you really submitted to the Holy Spirit and submitted to the things of God 100%? I told him Jesus said your mama more than one time. Jesus said your mama. Think not I come to send peace, I come to send a sword. Separate a daughter from my mama. Really what he's meaning is, if your mama don't have me in first place, you can't obey your mama and not obey me. Powerful message. When you sense your insufficiencies and your inadequacies, you know that's why God chose the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. A lot of times when a person have a high IQ and they're real accurate and they're real academician, and they got good language, and they, you know, they talk real precisely. That pushing don't depend on the Holy Ghost. And boy, it's horrible to listen at them. No, I mean, I can listen at them at a talk show or something, but at the church, they're up there and they're all straight and pressy and prissy. And they're talking, and you know they didn't practice in front of the mayoral. And the Holy Ghost came, move. I had a man one time told me, he said, time me. I said, I was just blank. I said, time you for what? We was at one of the largest ministries in the world. He tell me, time him. I said, time, what you about to do? He said, I'm about to preach my sermon, and I want you to time. I said, you can't preach a sermon before time to preach a sermon. Right, right. The people are not here. Why? Because he was not relying on the Holy Ghost. This actually happened. My wife was going to tell you that he actually happened. And he practiced, and we went to service. And the Holy Ghost had nothing to do with it. Holy Ghost just stood there because he practiced. He didn't do. He didn't. Come on, let's go. He didn't. I saw that sister over there, boy. She was leaning left and right. Martell was still preaching. She still leaning. I said, look at that woman leaning. That's a powerful message, son. Now, you know, apostles do things out of the ordinary. Yes, sir. Not just church folks. So you got a 10-minute break.